Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the August 19th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Arcola Township, Selling Old Office by Jacob Hamm. Arcola Township held a special meeting with township electors Monday evening to sell their former office building at 108 East Main Street. The meeting lasted approximately 5 minutes and the selling of the building was the only item on the agenda. Electors Bill Blackwell and Mick Schneider made a motion to approve the sale of the property. It is currently unknown who is buying the property and for how much, although the township has said the bid must be at least 80% of the assessed valuation. The township published a meeting notice in the newspaper last month regarding the sale of the property. The meeting required a minimum of 15 electors in the township to attend. Approximately 20 were in attendance. The next article, Atwood Village Board. Atwood shows off new village sign by Doris Elmore. The village of Atwood stands out in a new way, according to Atwood Village President Scott Harris at their regular meeting on Monday, August 10th. The Atwood Chamber of Commerce, Atwood Economic Development Corporation, and the village of Atwood joined forces in having a new sign made for the intersection of Route 36 West and the Arthur Road. The new sign resembles the sign on the east side of Dollar General as you come into town. President Harris thanked John Brandenburg for his continued work at the park. The limestone has been delivered and spread for the new diamond. The last week in July was the final week for summer help. Maddox Stewart, Ryan Appleby, and Cooper Schumacher, Harris stated they'd been big help in the past few months, and he thanked them for their work. Cooper will be starting his work program through the high school and will continue working with the street and alley and water and sewer departments. Kevin Buckley went over the new budget with the board. Following some discussion, the board approved the fiscal year 26 audit. Board members up for re-election were reminded to pick up their election paperwork beginning August 25th, and it has to be handed in by November 16th. Kingdom Concrete finished up the new sidewalk in front of the apartments on the west side of Main Street heading south. This is just the beginning of what will become a sidewalk to Dollar General. A new engineering design from Farnsworth for the sidewalk to Dollar General was presented and discussed. The estimate for the cost is $150,000. The board voted to approve the engineering plans. To date, nothing has been done about new concrete in front of the gas substation adjacent to the Dollar General sidewalk. The July police report is as follows. K-9 Hank passes annual state narcotics detection recertification. All LAH high school volleyball and basketball home games will be played at Atwood School this year. The Atwood Police Department is coordinating with the school and the sheriff's office to mitigate the issues with security and traffic that this is likely to cause. Enforcement stats, 195 total shift activity entries, 28 total traffic stops, producing 7 village ordinance traffic citations, 9 state traffic citations, 16 written warnings, 3 total crime offense reports generated, and 2 total arrests. K-9 activity, 22 K-9 training exercises, 1 K-9 deployment. Sergeant Rodemaker and K-9 Hank assisted Douglas County Sheriff's Office, Tuscola Police Department, and the Arthur Police Department in tracking and locating a wanted fugitive in Garrett. The fugitive was located hiding under a trailer home, and Hank's presence and bark motivated the fugitive to crawl out from under the trailer and surrender peacefully. In other business, Trustee Diane Egan presented a review of the upcoming Apple Dumpling Festival to the board and gave each a copy of the festival schedule. President Harris said he has asked Norm Willoughby to serve as lead person in helping the village follow up on the Top Flight properties and Kell's Place. The board agreed to send a mass mailing to bring everybody up to date on the park project at Atwood Public Park. An invitation was read to the board inviting them to the dedication of Raja Park on Friday, August 21st at 5 p.m. The board approved the TIF application from the village of Atwood and 26R7 for tree removal on South Main Street for $9,900. The board also approved the TIF application from the village of Atwood and 26R8 for the sidewalk in front of 511 South Main with Kingdom Concrete for $27,000. The board approved a year's use of using flock cameras paid by mostly with grant money. The board approved having a fall cleanup day following fall garage sales to be announced. Trimmed Up Trees Incorporated submitted a bid in the amount of $1,300 for tree removal at 120 East Orchard. Atwood also included stump grinding. The next meeting of the board will be held on Monday, September 14th at 6 p.m. The next article, the Bement School District, open year with enrollment growth. Bement school officials opened the 2026-27 school year with encouraging enrollment numbers, expanded academic opportunities, and a positive financial outlook, according to reports presented during the Board of Education meeting Wednesday, August 12th. Administrators described the first day of school as a successful start following a well-attended open house earlier in the week. Families were able to meet teachers, visit classrooms, and tour improvements around the district, including the new vestibule and renovated weight room. The open house drew a large turnout, with food trucks providing especially popular. School officials said approximately 238 snow cones were served during the evening. Elementary principal Christy Sweet also introduced new first grade teacher Skylar Wilkins to the board. Wilkins completed her student teaching in Bement last fall before graduating from the University of Illinois in May. She also earned micro credentials in trauma-informed education. Enrollment up. Elementary enrollment stands at 139 students, an increase of 11 from last year. Pre-kindergarten and first grade each have 26 students, with the first grade class divided into two sections of 13. Second grade has 15 students, third grade 14, fourth grade 20, and fifth grade 23. Middle school enrollment increased by 6 students to 54. There are 18 sixth graders, 20 seventh graders, and 16 eighth graders. High school enrollment increased by 12 students and now totals 98, including 25 freshmen, 22 sophomores, 19 juniors, and 32 seniors. College/career options. Administrator also reviewed several college and career opportunities available to Bement students. 7 students are participating in dual credit English classes, while 6 are enrolled in psychology and sociology. 5 students are attending Parkland College through the Early College and Career Academy, including 2 in automotive technology, 2 in the Certified Nursing Assistant program, and 1 in construction. 1 Bement student is participating in the Sangamon Valley CEO program. The program has 19 students this year, representing 5 area schools, including Argenta Oriana, Bement, Cerro Gordo, DeLand Weldon, and Monticello. Students participating in CEO may also have an opportunity to earn college credit through Western Illinois University. Bement also continues to work with Parkland College to provide individual online dual credit classes for students interested in courses not offered at the high school. Principal Kepley said these opportunities are particularly valuable for students who already have an idea of what they would like to pursue after graduation. Curriculum updates are also underway as part of the district's strategic plan. At the middle school and high school level, updated materials have been added for calculus, geography, English, and Spanish. A new music production course is being offered this fall with approximately 8 students enrolled. A music theater course is planned for the spring. Elementary teachers will place additional emphasis on writing this year. The district is trying a new online writing program for 1 year after piloting portions of it last year. A new typing curriculum is also being introduced for students 1st through 5th grades. Financial update. The board received its first look at the district's tentative fiscal year 2027 budget, which administrator said is balanced and does not require a deficit reduction plan. Projected revenues total approximately $6.16 million, with expenditures estimated at approximately $4.44 million. The budget includes a $700,000 transfer from the working cash fund that was completed in July. Of that amount, $680,000 went to the operations and maintenance fund and $20,000 to transportation. The district is projecting an estimated beginning fund balance of approximately $7.5 million and an ending balance of approximately $9.2 million. No fund is currently projected to finish the fiscal year with a negative balance. Salaries and benefits make up approximately 63% of the district's expenditures. The district is expected to receive $433,000 in evidence-based funding from state. Officials noted that Bement is considered a Tier 4 district and receives a substantial portion of its financial support from local revenue. Administrators cautioned that figures in the tentative budget could change before final approval as updated state and federal funding information and audit figures become available. The district's annual audit is scheduled to begin August 24th. Building upgrades. Superintendent Mary Vogt also updated board on members of the recently completed addition connecting Walsh Gymnasium and the Industrial Technology Building. While students and the public are already able to use the new space, several punch list items remain. Work includes HVAC balancing, finishing areas around the parking lot, and completing staff training on building systems. The Regional Office of Education has inspected the addition, and the district has received approval to occupy the space. Electrical work associated with the project also uncovered several existing code issues in the district's electrical system. Vogt said that an emergency health life safety amendment would be presented to address the needed corrections. She also praised district employees for the extensive work completed during the buildings throughout the buildings during the summer months. Staff members removed record boards, completed painting in the Walsh Gym, relocated the American flag, painted worn bleachers, and worked on concrete spacers. In the weight room, employees painted and installed new ceiling tiles, while several classrooms also received fresh paint. I'm very pleased and thankful for the crew that we do have, Vogt said. The board also discussed the future of the district's football facilities after receiving estimates for painting the locker room, concession stand, and press box. An estimate to paint all of the structures totaled $18,700, while an option that excluded the brick building was estimated at $12,400. Board members indicated they preferred to explore long-term alternatives before committing that amount to painting. Discussion included the possibility of eventually replacing the aging press box with a new structure that could incorporate a concession stand, restrooms, and an upstairs press box. Vogt said the project could be considered as part of the district's long-range facilities planning, with possible financial participation from community organizations that also use the property. Fall athletics. Athletic Director Christy Sweet updated the board reporting fall athletics are underway. Junior high softball has 20 players, junior high baseball has 14, and junior high cross country 11. The baseball program was opened to fifth graders this year because of lower participation numbers in the upper grades. At the high school level, football has 18 players, cheerleading has 10, cross country has 9, and volleyball drew 29 participants, allowing the district to field freshman, junior varsity, and varsity teams. Golf began the season with 7 boys and 2 girls expressing interest. With enrollment increasing, new academic options available, and several facility projects nearing completion, administrators told the board they were pleased with the school district start of the new school year. The next article is from the Bement Village Board by Jacob Hamm, Liquor Licenses Outside Burning. The Bement Village Board discussed several items and made changes to 2 ordinances on their agenda at Tuesday night's meeting. The Village Board voted 4-2 to amend the burning ordinance, restricting outside fires to campfires and outside cooking only. Burning of leaves, trash, and agricultural waste are now prohibited under the amendment ordinance. The village can still ban outdoor cooking and campfires under extreme drought conditions. Trustees Bob Wells and Casey Hicks cast the 2 no votes for the amendments to the ordinance. The Village Board also amended the ordinance regarding the issue of liquor licenses within Bement. The board allowed current liquor license holders to maintain their licenses but will restrict any future applicants. The amendment to the ordinance would require future applicants for liquor licenses to live within 15 miles of Bement's village borders and live within the area for 6 months before they are approved for a license. I think it's a very restrictive ordinance, and the way it's written right now, I don't see it really solving anything, Wells said during the discussion of the ordinance. He ended up casting the lone no vote on the change to the ordinance, with the rest of the voting members on the village board approving the changes. Several discussion items were on the agenda, but no formal action was taken at the meeting. Among them were the possibility of the village purchasing a title policy for water main infrastructure with the United States Department of Agriculture. The purpose of the title policy would be to protect the village legally from court challenges claiming that area residents own the pipes and not Bement. The title policy cost a bit more than what the village expected, but village president Rob Stevens expressed support for the purchase during the discussion. It's not a great expense, but it will protect us from even a few hours in court, so I would recommend we go ahead and do this, Stevens said. The board unanimously approved to finalize the purchase at a later meeting. The total cost for the title policy would be around $3,300. The village board also discussed the possibility of a small storage facility being built on a lot in a lot with an abandoned house on Mansfield Street in the southern edge of Bement. The owner of the property owns other storage facilities in the region. The Zoning Board of Appeals denied the owner's request due to concerns about traffic, aesthetics, and protecting the fabric of the neighborhood, which is entirely residential. The village board seemed to be against the proposal as well, in addition to at least one resident in the neighborhood. However, no further formal action was taken by the village board at the meeting to deny the owner's request. The next article is from the Arcola School Board, Here's Plan for Residential TIF by David Porter. The Arcola School Board last week heard a presentation from Bill Wagoner, Arcola City Administrator, on the proposed new Tax Increment Financing TIF district. The residential TIF is designed to add about 50 new homes to the city, something the school district has been advocating in light of declining enrollment. A joint review board meeting was scheduled for Tuesday afternoon for all taxing bodies impacted by the TIF to be heard. Wagoner said Monday night that TIF districts 1 and 6 in the city would be expiring in 2028, taxes payable in 2029, which will expand the city's overall property valuation by $15 million. During the life of the TIF districts, typically 23 years, the school district would not be able to capture the increase in assessed value within the new residential district to help pay educational expenses for new students. But Wagoner said the added valuation from TIF 1 and 6 will mitigate that. The homes to be built on the city's southwest corner will be mostly two stories with three bedrooms and two and a half baths with attached single-car garages. The city has purchased 10 acres for the proposed development and hopes to add another 10 acres as the progresses. Lots will range from 0.11 to 0.14 acres. Following the presentation in committee, the school board approved its tentative budget and sets a hearing for 7 p.m. September 9th at the school. The board also informally okayed sending a letter of support for the city's park grant application. Board President Lucas Schonweiler, and his initial thought was that the school should stay out of city affairs, but noted the district uses the city's softball and baseball diamonds. The district recently helped with upgrades to the diamonds. Administrators gave updates at the start of the school, including whether the district should have to have a JV football schedule. Principal Nick Lindsay said there are 26 kids out, but not a lot of skill players, mostly linemen. Following a closed session, the board accepted retirement letters and resignations from Mela, John Peter, John Voigt, and hired Jamie Easton as fourth grade teacher and Shelley Thomas as a cafeteria worker. The board approved maternity leave for Ashlyn Donalds and Chandler Eng. Vogt was the district's head maintenance man who oversaw numerous improvements at the school. Superintendent Tara Chandler praised his passion and communication skills, noting he didn't slow down in his final day as his final day approaches. He did a wonderful job. And the next article from the Arcola City Council, Dilapidated Buildings Draw Complaint, by David Porter. Alan Shank, who runs t-shirt business in Arcola, addressed the City Council Monday night to express concerns about dilapidated buildings downtown. Some are open to the elements, he said. He noted that while there are no discussions ongoing about renovations, the open windows and doors are something that should be addressed immediately to keep them from becoming unsafe. He also discussed work at a building adjacent to his, which he said has cost bricks and mortar inside his building. I'm not asking for special treatment, he said. He said he merely wants the city to enforce its own ordinances regarding dilapidated buildings. There is no new business on the agenda. Milano and Grunlow gave an update on engineering projects, and Hannah Myers gave an update on community development. Myers said the last sweep, sip, and stroll event was well attended and well reviewed. She said another is planned for October 10th following the annual car show. She also said she had applied for two grants to help pay for benches at the proposed walking path at Moore Park. She noted that the project is not dependent on the grants. Myers also noted a new internet portal for the city where people can learn about events and even report potholes online. It's accessible from the city's website and the Facebook page. The next article, Arcola Moving Forward on Residential TIF District, by David Porter. Arcola is working on a new TIF district that would add about 50 new homes on the city's southwest corner. The city's purchased 10 acres of land it plans to give to a developer to build two-story, three-bedroom homes. The houses will have two head-half baths and attached one-car garages. The TIF, or Tax Increment Financing, is a popular but complicated tool in Illinois municipal government. It has helped fund downtown streetscapes, sewer upgrades, and vacant building demolitions in towns across the state, including here in Douglas County, while also becoming a target of school boards, townships, watchdog groups, and occasional lawsuits. Here's how it works, and here's what residents should know when their city council or village board considers creating or renewing one. The basic mechanics. Illinois lawmakers created the modern TIF program in 1977 through the Tax Increment Allocation Redevelopment Act, giving municipalities a way to fund redevelopment in areas found to be blighted, declining, or otherwise unlikely to attract private investment on their own. When a municipality establishes a TIF district, the county assessor's office calculates the total taxable value of every property inside its boundaries, the equalized assessed value, or EAV, and freezes that number as a baseline. Property taxes continue to be collected by the municipality and other taxing bodies based on this base value. As redevelopment takes hold and property values climb, the additional tax revenue generated above the frozen baseline, the increment, doesn't go to the usual mix of taxing bodies. Instead, it's collected into a special fund that the municipality can reinvest in the project area, generating additional growth in property value and in turn produces even more revenue for reinvestment. That money can pay off bonds issued for upfront redevelopment costs or fund projects directly on a pay-as-you-go basis. Under the state law, a TIF district can run for up to 23 years, with the possibility of renewing for an additional 12 years through the state legislature. If a municipality hasn't started any redevelopment project within 7 years of creating a district, it's required to terminate the TIF. Once a district expires or is dissolved, the frozen baseline disappears and the full higher taxable value of the property returns to the regular tax base, meaning every overlapping taxing body, schools, county, the library, the park districts, can begin collecting taxes on the property's full current value rather than the old baseline. What the money can and can't buy. TIF funds are restricted to eligible redevelopment costs. As Rockford's TIF documentation puts it, the increment can be spent on physical improvements and related costs such as street work, land acquisition, demolition, and financing costs, but cannot be used for loans to businesses for working capital or for machinery and equipment. Roselle's village government lists typical uses as redevelopment, substandard or vacant buildings, and financing public infrastructure such as streets, sewers, water lines in declining areas. The case for and against TIF. Supporters, including the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, describe a TIF as a locally controlled tool that lets the city fund its own redevelopment without depending on scarce state or federal grants. Backers also argue schools ultimately come out ahead because state education funding formulas exclude TIF districts' incremental value from the district's calculated property wealth. A poorer school district stands to gain even more state aid, even while the TIF is active, than it ordinarily would. Critics see it differently. The nonpartisan Civic Federation notes that the opponents argue TIF districts divert property tax revenues for decades, limiting funding available for core services like schools, that the tool doesn't guarantee economic returns, and can lack transparency and input from taxing bodies whose revenue is affected. School advocacy groups have raised similar concerns statewide. One parent-teacher association network noted that when new housing built inside a TIF district brings in more students to a school system, the district can't raise taxes or capture revenue from the district's rising property values to hire additional teachers and staff even as enrollment grows. The dispute aren't just theoretical. In central Illinois, a Peoria school board member recently told the city council that a proposed new TIF district near West Main Street could negatively affect school funding, prompting the mayor to open talks between City Hall and the school board. Elsewhere, school districts have taken municipalities to court over TIF formulation. An Illinois appellate court sided with the village of Winfield last year after two school districts challenged its creation of a new downtown TIF district that overlapped with an older one. Proponents argued that the additional tax revenue within a TIF would not have materialized had it not been for the TIF. Opponents argue that some of the development would have taken place anyway, diverting revenue from other taxing bodies. Proponents also argue that TIF districts could provide tax relief when they are retired by expanding the tax base. History shows that taxing bodies typically increase their levies to capture the increased EAV, which provides them with additional revenue without raising the tax rate. Without rate reduction, opponents argue homeowners continue to see an increased property taxes due to inflationary increases in their individual home assessments. Taxing bodies sometimes use the threat of state-imposed tax caps as justification for not reducing their tax rates. Closer to home, TIF isn't just a Chicago or big city story. Douglas County's own Economic Development Corporation lists active tax increment financing programs in both Arcola and Villa Grove as incentive tools for local projects. Tuscola has retired most of its TIF districts, while a housing district remains, the Barker Prairie TIF 3. Tuscola's TIF 3 is a residential project that has seen more than $5 million in private and public investment, $3.9 million private, $1.2 million public, in a 13.5-acre area. The mechanics play out in real budget decisions here regularly. Last year, the Villa Grove City Council voted to transfer $250,000 from its TIF account into the city's general fund, while the Arcola City Council distributed more than $142,000 in surplus. TIF money back to the taxing bodies within its district under an intergovernmental agreement, a reminder that when a TIF run funds a surplus, municipalities can choose to share it with the schools, library, and other bodies that would normally not have received it. Whether a given TIF district helps or hurts a community over its 23-year life often comes down to details about how narrowly blight was defined when the district was created, how transparently the increment has been spent, and whether the redevelopment it's funded would have happened anyway. For residents wanting to look into a specific district, municipal TIF annual reports, required by state law, are public record and typically available through the city or village clerk's office. In the last first-page story, Arthur Mennonite Relief Sale, August 28th and 29th, by Trudy Feiereisen. It's the time of year again. The Arthur Mennonite Relief Sale is scheduled for Friday and Saturday, August 28th through 29th at the Auto Center, 2056 County Road 1800 East Arthur, 1 mile south of the downtown Arthur. Both parking and admission are free. This is such a special event, such a wonderful way to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, organizers said. The Mennonite Central Committee, MCC, plans to distribute 80% of this year's funds toward food and water in Africa and Asia, and the remaining 20% toward local needs. Last year, that 20% afforded an opportunity to give $500 to quite a few families to help pay medical bills. A portion was shared with seven local churches for outreach, and another part was given to the Arthur Ministerial Association to assist local members of the community with water and gas bills, food vouchers, and the backpack program. It all started back in 1962 at the Arthur Sale Barn and has been going strong ever since. This year, they continue to have high-quality items to auction off, including 6-piece bedroom suite, 4-piece bedroom suite, variety of tables, swivel oak rocker, glider with ottoman, swivel glider, reclining 4-burner gas grill, Wolverine power washer, 10x12 storage building, and many handcrafted children's items. A variety of outdoor furniture, gliders, and swings will also be auctioned off, along with an array of lovely handmade quilts. The main auction takes place Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m. and begins again Saturday from 9 a.m. until approximately 3 p.m. A silent auction is held Saturday from 9 till 1, which include over 70 gift certificates, including such things as a 2-night stay at the Shingle Oaks Loft in town, a catered meal for 6, full brisket for 15 people, brunch for 10 people, Yoder's Kitchen and Ribeye Restaurant in Champaign. Blessing bids are also available, where participants use their money toward different missions and ministries. For the first time last year, there was a generous blessing bid for a local ministry, Project 61 in Sullivan. This year's local blessing bid will go towards Legacy of Love, providing housing support and independent living for those with special needs and their families in the Arthur community. Other blessing bids this year include clean water in Mozambique and Nepal, building latrines in West Bengal, and participating with farmers in Chad, providing seeds and training. At 10 a.m. this Saturday, there's a children's auction where each child gets an ice cream bidder number to bid on toys. Later, they can return their bidder numbers for a dish of ice cream. We'll move now to the obituaries. Bernita Fern Luth Ashwill, age 93 of Tuscola, passed away at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana on Sunday evening, August 9, 2026, approximately 7:20 p.m. after a very brief illness. A visitation was held Friday, August 14th at Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home, Tuscola. Traditional Lutheran funeral services were held Saturday, August 15th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Broadlands with Pastor Jason Breton officiating. Burial followed in the Emmanuel Lutheran Cemetery. Amy Howard Steen, 98 of Mahomet, went to be with her Lord and Savior on Saturday, August 8, 2026 at Carl Hospital in Urbana. Visitation was held Saturday, August 15th at a funeral service at Joyne's Funeral Home in Villa Grove. Burial followed at the Villa Grove Cemetery. Dorothy J. Dottie Bolly Riddle, 96 of Tuscola, passed away at 6:44 p.m. Tuesday, August 11, 2026 at the Apostolic Christian Home in Eureka. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 22nd at the Tuscola United Methodist Church, 901 North Prairie Street, Tuscola, with the Reverend Ann Fuque and the Reverend Tony Crouch officiating. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the services at the church. Graveside services will be held at 4 p.m. on Saturday at the Roanoke Township Cemetery, Roanoke. Joanne Birch, 93, formerly of Hugo, passed away at 12:40 a.m. on Friday, August 14th, 2026 at Oddfellow Rebecca Home in Mattoon. Per Joe's wishes, no public services will be held. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting the family. Linda Sue Kramer, 79 of Sullivan, passed away at 7:23 a.m. on Thursday, August 13, 2026, at her residence. The visitation was held Monday, August 17th at the Edwards Funeral Home, Arcola. Funeral services were held Monday at the funeral home. Burial was Tuesday, August 13th at the Masonic Cemetery in Flat Branch Township, Mohiqua. And there's time for a few briefs. Evening Out on the County Line. The annual Evening Out on the County Line will be held this Friday, August 21st, offering an evening of shopping, food specials, and activities at businesses along Arthur Area County Line. Participating stores will remain open until 10 p.m., with many offering special discounts, refreshment drawings, and other promotions throughout the evening. Participating businesses include Country Shoe, Furniture Plus, F.D. Miller Feed, Shady Crest, Family Health Foods, and First Neighbor Bank. The event provides an opportunity for residents and visitors to spend an evening shopping locally while enjoying special offers and activities. Adults can also participate in a gift card drawing while children enjoy a pony giveaway. And that's all the time we have for this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye and see you again next week.